From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, it appears that Democrats are once again wrestling over the presence of God. A key committee in the Democratic-controlled House is moving to eliminate the word "so help you God" from the oath administered to witnesses testifying before the panel. I was alerted by text about this last night from my Congressman Garrett Graves of Louisiana, and he joins us in just a moment with the details. And good news out of Pakistan. The Christian mother, Asiya Bibi, has finally been exonerated of blasphemy charges by the country's high court. Travis Weber provides a quick update a little later here on Washington Watch. And there appears to be peace in Washington, at least a relative peace. Government is open again, albeit for just 3 weeks. President Trump has been re-invited to give his State of the Union address. That will come next Tuesday night. But what happens on February the 15th if no deal has been reached between the president and Democrats over border security? Well, Ken Kukowski is here with a look at the options the president has at his disposal. Also, last week, Planned Parenthood released their annual report. How much of your tax dollars go to the abortion behemoth? FRC's Petrina Mosley is here with the facts. And more shocking details on the far-reaching effects of New York's new abortion law. Wesley Smith with the Center for Bioethics and Culture is here with the latest. A lot to cover today, so buckle up. And if you happen to miss anything on your way home, you can find it all later at TonyPerkins.com. It's archived right there. TonyPerkins.com if you're on Twitter. It is at T. Perkins. All right. You might remember the fiasco the Democrats had in their 2012 convention when God was taken out of their platform. He was put back in, but he was booed. Now, that was not the beginning nor the end of the God problem for Democrats, as they appear to be pretty stiff-necked when it comes to acknowledging God. Now, last night, as I mentioned, I received a text from my congressman alerting me to the latest revelation of their desire to distance themselves from God. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment with Congressman Garrett Graves of Louisiana, and he joins us now. He represents the 6th Congressional District of Louisiana. Congressman Graves, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thank you, Tony. Appreciate it.
All right, I was just setting this up as to the committee that you happen to serve on, the Natural Resources Committee, that the Democrats want to strike "so help me God" from the oath that are that is administered to witnesses testifying before the panel. I know you and your fellow Louisiana congressman, my good friend Mike Johnson, are working to restore this, but it's an uphill battle.
It really is amazing. I was flipping through the rules yesterday, the rule changes they proposed, and most of them were relatively innocuous. And all of a sudden, I saw this one. I was like, wait a minute, this is crazy. And I went back and read it over and over again, thinking I was misreading something. So we immediately filed an amendment to these rules last night. You know, the irony, Tony, is that you can look back and even Speaker Pelosi administering the oath of office to the House of Representatives just weeks ago uttered these same words, and suddenly even "In God We Trust" is apparently out of line or too much for some folks on the liberal side, and really just incredible. The thing is that we obviously need more God here, not less. We have a chaplain. We open the Congress with a prayer each morning. It is unbelievable to see folks trying to move us in a different direction.
Yeah, before you came on, I mentioned going back to those that remember to 2012 when they removed him from the platform, and then because of criticism, they tried to put a reference to God back in. Three times the chair had to have a vote because God was being booed. I mean, they have a real God problem, and when it comes to this, I mean, you're talking about administering an oath that people will be honest in what they testify. So help me God. What do you think is behind this? What's driving this?
I view it as attempting to sanitize government, trying to sanitize our history. And the whole idea behind an oath is that you were taking an oath to a higher being. You don't take an oath to yourself. You take an oath to a higher being. It's recognition that there is something bigger, greater than you. And I really believe that part of this agenda is focusing less on anything being greater and instead focusing on themselves. And I think that's a very dangerous direction for our country to go in. And importantly, looking back in history, this has been really just a bedrock. This has been foundational in oaths of office and their even reports back that George Washington, in his initial swearing in, uttered these words and kissed the Bible, regardless of what exactly happened there. This is it has always been foundational and part of our government here in the United States that we understand there's a God, we understand there's something greater than us, and that is where we affirm our oath.
So, Congressman Graves, is this reflective of this new kind of radical Marxist left that we see coming into Congress with some of these new freshman Democrat members?
Tony, the number of times in the last month that I've literally just said, what country are we in right now? I don't even know that I could count. When you see some of the proposals, some of the ideas, some of the ideology that's being espoused, it's downright scary. And I think it does not reflect, it is a major deviation or departure from the very principles that made our country the great nation that we have today.
Now, I understand that the full committee is set to vote on this new language as a part of the whole rules that will take effect immediately once adopted. When will the committee vote on this?
This is happening tomorrow morning. Again, as soon as we saw the proposed change, we did file an amendment. So that amendment is going to be on the committee's agenda tomorrow. So I've reached out to all of the Republican committee members yesterday and trying to make sure that we had everyone's awareness and support. Congressman Johnson agreed to kind of share some of the history on this issue. He obviously has an extraordinary amount of knowledge, both constitutional, legal, and historical background on this, and so he'll be a key player in this. But there's a lot of concern, and even some of the Democrats that I've spoken to were a little surprised to learn that this was in there.
So how many Democratic members of the committee will have to support this for your amendment to pass?
Well, it depends on who shows up, but we're going to have probably about four or five.
You think that's possible?
I do. I think it's possible, and looking at the surprise on some folks' faces, normally this is more of a formality to approve the rules. But when I told them about the change, there was some surprise on folks' faces, and I think we're going to have a good shot at getting this changed back.
All right. Well, we'll be watching that very closely. In fact, we're going to put out a word for people to call, and I'm going to get a list of those members of the Natural Resources Committee and let people know so they can make calls to them and encourage them to keep God in the oath there. It's something very basic, but as you said, very, very significant. Congressman Garrett Graves, thanks so much for taking time out. I know you got to run to a meeting. Thanks for joining us.
Tony, thank you. Y'all have a great day.
All right, you too. Congressman Garrett Graves, my congressman, great guy. So I'm going to get that list. You should probably just contact your member of Congress as well, but I'm going to get that list for you of those that are on that particular committee. And this is one of those, probably one of many that we're going to have to respond to because of where this new majority in Congress wants to take us. All right. Some good news. Joining me now from D.C., is Travis Weber, Vice President of Policy, and joins us with an update on, you might remember, Asiya Bibi, a Christian Pakistani woman who had been imprisoned for 8 years for allegedly committing blasphemy against Islam. Now, she was acquitted by the Pakistan Supreme Court, but under the intense pressure of a radical Muslim, there was rioting. You remember all this back in October. She was confined, they said, for her own safety. An appeal was made to try to overturn the court's acquittal. Well, the court again acquitted her of that, and soon she should be leaving the country. Joining us now with more is Travis Weber, policy, Vice President of Policy at the Family Research Council. Travis, fill us in.
All right. Yeah, Tony, this is a really good development to see today. The court basically rejected a petition seeking to reopen the decision acquitting her, review the case again with new evidence, perhaps. And the court definitively shot that down today, saying there's no new evidence here, nothing to see, no reason to reopen this. She has been acquitted, and that's her final judgment. So that had been the judgment in October, but radical Islamist parties had put the country in virtual paralysis, blocking streets, engaging in mass protests. And one of those parties, someone affiliated with them, had submitted a petition to the Supreme Court asking it to review the case again. There was certainly a political and public pressure component to this, and they used a legal mechanism along with that. So this is the follow-on, the next, you know, sort of step in the case, that is the court responding to that, which they could have taken years to review. So this was good to see them to deal with this issue relatively quickly and announcing, look, she's been acquitted, she's free to go. This poor woman is going to have to leave Pakistan. I mean, the entire attention of the radical Muslim groups within that country has been turned towards her. And not everyone is opposed to her, but there certainly are enough violent actors willing to do her harm that she really needs to get out of there.
So the I know that her daughters have already left the country. They're in Canada. The process by which she leaves, I mean, the government there, I would have to think that Pakistan and these, you know, these blasphemy laws have been used to prosecute and I would say persecute a lot of religious minorities there. In fact, those elected officials and other leaders who have stepped up to defend, even in this case of Asiya Bibi, have been assassinated. So these are some radical folks there. But I would think the government understands they have a burden of responsibility to make sure that she is safe while she remains in the country.
I think so, and they've made sure that she has been kept, you know, been safe throughout the proceedings, and her location's often been undisclosed. It's really an odd and an unfortunate, sad situation we see in Pakistan, where you have some actors willing to step out and really try to push for protections for religious freedom. Some of those who come to her defense were assassinated. Her own lawyer had to flee to the Netherlands and now has returned to assist her during the latest developments. But you have enough violent actors really fixated on this whole issue of blasphemy, which is present in other Islamic countries, but heavily focused on in Pakistan. And I know folks who are trying to work against this type of ideology, which is very bad for religious freedom, because upon an allegation, there's such sensitivity to, in the eyes of these groups, defaming the Prophet Muhammad, there is a rush to judgment and really causes a lot of religious freedom violations.
Well, we'll be watching this very, very closely. Travis Weber, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Tony.
By the way, speaking of religious freedom, next Wednesday we'll be doing a special webcast with Bob Fu of China Aid, focused on China in particular as the trade negotiations between the United States and China continue. All right, when we come back, the president signing a continuing resolution last week for 3 weeks, getting the government back open, but only if the Democrats will negotiate on border security. What if they don't? What can he do? That's next.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being. From the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds, today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand, and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, let me just give you the Capitol switchboard number. Wouldn't hurt for you to call your member of Congress and say, look, do not take God out of the oath that witnesses take. This attack that the Democrats have already started on God, continuation of their battle with him that's been going on for quite some time, but we can't let them do that. All right, the Capitol switchboard number 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. Okay, as we mentioned, the president last week signing a three-week funding mechanism for the government, getting the government open back, getting the government open again. And that was contingent or based upon the promise that the Democrats would negotiate in good faith over border security. Now, the speaker yesterday inviting the president to come and do the State of the Union address, that'll be next Tuesday, so things are moving forward. But what if, and it's a big if, because it's highly probable, that the Democrats will not come to the table as it pertains to border security? What can the president do? Well, it appears the law is on his side, and if he has to, he can act. Joining me now is Ken Kulkowski, senior legal editor for Breitbart News, and he has a piece entitled President Trump Has Legal Authority to Declare Border Emergency to Build the Wall. Ken, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks so much for having me, Tony.
Now, we've talked before about the Emergency Powers Act, the president declaring an emergency, but even so, he's got some authority that's within the statutes that allow him to move forward on this, does he not?
Well, in fact, those two go exactly together, Tony. We are not here talking about, and this is what the left has been saying, trying to scare people. Some of our friends on the right have actually been saying this, and with all due respect, and these are wonderful people, but they're wrong. The president is not here relying upon any of his inherent constitutional authorities. He is not invoking his commander-in-chief power under Article 2 of the Constitution, for example. The president has two sources of authority in American government. One is his inherent constitutional authorities, and the other is, as the chief administrator of U.S. law, the other is his authority to carry out acts of Congress, laws that Congress has put on the books. All of this, everything on the table right now, pertaining to a potential border emergency order and what that would authorize the president to do. All of that is derived exclusively, 100%, from the explicit authorities of various powers that Congress has said a president holds if he declares a national emergency pursuant to the National Emergencies Act of 1976. And in fact, before you get to your next question, it's funny, when I was giving briefings on this 2 days ago, I would explain to people the president has declared 58 emergencies since that law was passed in 1976. 31 of those 58 are still in effect, including the very first one that Jimmy Carter declared in 1979, a national emergency regarding fighting Iranian-backed terrorism. That is still going on today. Yesterday, as I said Monday, I said 58 emergencies, 31 in effect. Today, I have to say there have been 59 emergencies. 32 of them are in effect. That's because yesterday, President Trump invoked his authority under the National Emergencies Act to declare a state of emergency regarding U.S. relations with the government of Venezuela because of what's going on there. And then he issued an executive order as to how exactly the U.S. would deal with it. Maybe I've missed something in the past few hours, Tony, but to the best of my knowledge, the sky has not fallen. The world has not ended. The Constitution has not burst into flames. The president used this authority yesterday, and everything in America continues going on exactly as it should, because, again, this is not some sort of radical move. It is built into the fabric of the laws that Congress has enacted.
And in this in particular, when we talk about border security on our southern border, Congress has also voted to build defensive structures, walls, provide other security on the southern border. So the president is not acting in contradiction to what Congress has said. It's just that the money hasn't been allocated to do it.
In fact, Tony, and I appreciate so much you raising that, you're right that in the Secure Fence Act of 2006, Congress explicitly authorized the construction of building a physical barrier anywhere along the southern border, including from California to Texas, from sea to shining sea, so 1,800 miles. Anything short of that is encompassed within the statute. That is a law that Congress put on the books. Now, in fact, this would not even be funding that Congress has not appropriated, because Congress has embedded in 136 separate federal laws various emergency powers that the president has if he declares certain types of emergency. And several of these actually pertain to construction projects. At 33 U.S.C. Section 2293, in the event of a national emergency, the president can have the Secretary of Defense reorder the construction units of the U.S. military, which would include the Army Corps of Engineers. And as I'm sure you know, I mean, they can build anything. They're incredible construction capabilities, that he can order them to engage in new construction projects, and that he can reallocate any monies that have been allocated already by Congress to fund those construction projects. And right now, as we speak, the Army Corps of Engineers has access to $13.9 billion that Congress has appropriated for the current fiscal period that have not yet been spent. There are billions more available through FEMA disaster relief out of the Department of Homeland Security. And then you have pots of money of a couple billion dollars in all of these different places, even the Agriculture Department. So all the funding is there and all the statutory authority is there for the president to act.
It's just a matter of redirecting those funds. And I think if the Democrats won't work with him, I think he has no choice.
But I think you're right.
To act. Ken Kulkowski, as always, great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for stopping
by. Thanks so much, Tony. God bless.
All right, Ken Kulkowski, if you'd like to see his piece, go to TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. I think politically, the president, I think he has bent over backwards to negotiate in good faith. But bottom line, there has to be a barrier. There has to be security on the southern border. And if they don't work with him, he'll have to do it by himself. All right, coming up next, Planned Parenthood releasing their annual report last week. What's in it? We talk about that next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand, and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, the website, tonyperkins.com. Okay, the Natural Resource Committee in the House has not yet posted their members. I was trying to see if we could find another source, but I guess it was last week, they settled on committees and stuff, so they haven't posted that information up there yet. So the best thing to do is just contact your member of Congress. Doesn't matter who it is, just contact them and say you're outraged by the fact that Democrats want to remove God from the oath. At Capitol switchboard number 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. You should have that in your phone. Write that down. That's the Capitol switchboard. You're going to need it a lot. I can just tell you, you're going to need it a lot in the next 2 years. Okay. As I mentioned last week, Planned Parenthood releasing their annual report. And the Family Research Council has put together a document, a 13-page report on their report entitled The Real Planned Parenthood, Leading the Culture of Death. And, part of what we look at in their report from last week is, number one, the number of abortions they do, which has increased, and the money that they receive, which has increased. And, of course, the focal point being that which comes from taxpayers. Joining me now to talk about this, Petrina Mosley, our Director of Life, Culture, and Women's Advocacy. Petrina, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony.
All right, let's talk about this. When we look at Planned Parenthood and their funding stream, what do we know about the dollars coming from taxpayers?
Well, 34% of Planned Parenthood's funding is coming from the government right there. That is ridiculous when you think about how much abortions have increased, how their actual services to women have decreased, and yet just in 1 year, their government funding has increased by over $20 million.
So the facts are, over the last 8 years, cancer screening and prevention programs have consistently decreased by 66%. Breast exams have declined by over 64%, and prenatal services have steadily dropped by 77%. But what has gone up is abortions. And what else has gone up is the amount of money that they've received. As you mentioned, 34% of their dollars coming from a combination of federal, state, and local grants and contracts. this, I mean, with all of the controversy that surrounds Planned Parenthood, the trafficking in baby body parts, why is more government money going into their coffers?
Because they fatten the wallets of legislators who, in return, continue to keep them in business. It's a very smooth, systematic, you scratch my back, I scratch yours type of scenario here. And they are continuing to get funding in spite of their having decreasing services that actually serve women. We have over 13,000 federally qualified health centers that don't perform abortions, that outnumber Planned Parenthood, whose services to women are actually increasing, and let alone pregnancy resource centers who oftentimes offer their services for no cost at all to mothers. Yet they're not getting nearly half as much as Planned Parenthood is continuing to get.
You bring up a good point, Petrina. The Planned Parenthood, now the tax dollars that go cannot go for abortion. There are restrictions on that. But they can pay their overhead. They get Title X funding, which can cover the rent, and abortion can be taking place in the same building. Now, the president has moved to restrict that, so that's not going to be happening in the future, we hope. But the reality is they are able to use the money they don't have to raise to run their clinics to use in political campaigns to elect politicians who will then support giving them more money.
That's it. That is exactly what's going on. And because they make it so hard to really follow the money of where it's going, like you just stated, they get a bucket of government money, but it is filled with state grants, contracts, all of these reimbursements, all of these things make Planned Parenthood's financial ability fungible. And that's why it's really important that we do the work to get as much information as we can on where the money is going, how much money that they're getting, and follow the money as closely as we can, because we see that it does have an impact on the government and on legislators staying in power who by then empower them.
All right. So folks can get all of these facts that you just listed and more by downloading a copy of the Planned Parenthood's Culture of Death, your analysis of the annual report of Planned Parenthood, right?
That is correct. It's a downloadable format at FRC.org.
All right. Petrina, thanks so much.
Alrighty.
Glad to have you on.
Thank you.
All right. So go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over, and you can download that, and you've got the facts in your hands. I believe, I mean, by the way, here's something. They're sitting on over $800 million in unrestricted net assets. That's not their annual budget. That's just money in the bank. For a nonprofit, they sure are making a pretty good profit at your expense. Planned Parenthood needs to be defunded. And it's not just at the national level, which we're not going to get through Congress, but state legislatures can do it. Local governments can do it. This is ridiculous. And for them to be able to use their money to elect elected officials who will vote more money for them, I think if you're a nonprofit and you get government money, you shouldn't be allowed to give in to election campaigns, because you're getting a return on it. All right, when we come back, we're going to take another look at New York's far-reaching new abortion law. Wesley Smith joins me next. Don't go away. More to come.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy, from unicorns to the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. In FRC's analysis, 10 Myths on Abortion, join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to our other free resources, go to frc.org/connect.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, in just a few minutes, we're going to go to the phone lines, and this is what I want to talk about. Are you surprised that the Democrats are moving to remove God from the oath that witnesses take? Liz Cheney, who is the House Republican Conference Chair, said it is incredible but not surprising that the Democrats would try to remove God from committee proceedings in one of their first acts in the majority. They really have become the party of Karl Marx. So, surprised. Are you surprised? We're going to talk about that in just a moment. The number, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. But first, the law that New York passed a week ago, the new abortion law, that is one of the most expansive in the nation. There's more to it than meets the eye. What the law, when you look at it and what it does, it's really the tip of the iceberg because it overturns existing laws and it makes it the most dangerous place in America to be an unborn child in the womb of their mother. Joining me now to talk about it, Wesley Smith. He is with the Center for Bioethics and Culture. Wesley, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, how are you?
I'm doing quite well. This is shocking. What they have done in New York. But what really is below the surface is the effect that this law has in eliminating existing laws that provide certain levels of protection, which were not talked about when this law was passed.
Yeah, and it kind of brings to mind the Kermit Gosnell horror, because what New York did was repealed certain protections that already existed. For example, there was a requirement previously in New York law that if a baby survived an abortion, in fact, at the federal level, it's called the Born Alive Infant Protection Act, that a doctor would have to take care of that child and try to save that child's life. That has been repealed. Well, why do you repeal that other than to at least suggest that if a child, a baby survives an abortion, that if the abortionist just sits there and lets it die, lets he or she die, nothing will be done about it. Now, some people say, well, that would never happen. Well, it has happened. In Florida, right. For example, in 2006, a child survived an abortion. And rather than save that child, the abortion clinic owner stuffed it in a medical waste bag. And we've also seen times when women, perhaps depressed or desperate or whatever, have given birth and thrown babies in trash cans.
Right.
So this is the kind of thing that the law, if it doesn't exactly authorize, has done away with provisions that would specifically outlaw.
Wes, let me ask you the question. Why did we have laws to begin with that said you had to provide medical assistance to a baby who survived an abortion? Why did we adopt that law? Was it not because there was a problem?
Precisely. And the federal, the Infant Born Alive Protection Act, was passed for that very reason, because, of course, those things happen. And the other thing is that when people say that, well, why should that occur? The idea of the so-called right to choose is that you cannot force a woman to do anything with her body, doing away for the moment with the argument about what's going on in terms of when the woman is gestating. Once that child is out of the body, that's a born baby.
Right.
And that has nothing to do with the right to choose. Supposedly, there's no right to a dead fetus or a dead baby. But in recent years, I'm not surprised by this law, the people who support abortion rights have moved away from safe, legal, and rare. They want to overturn Roe v. Wade as well, but they want to overturn it from the other direction because they believe it permits too many limitations rather than not enough.
Yeah, they think Roe v. Wade is too restrictive.
Too restrictive, exactly. And that's the Ruth Bader Ginsburg approach, and it's based not on privacy as Roe was, but on the idea that of women's equality. I wrote in National Review, I don't know if you saw it, but Vermont has a new bill that basically creates a fundamental right to abortion, and it doesn't say anything about time limits. It doesn't say anything about, the causes or the reasons you could have a late-term abortion. In New York, they go through the motions of life of the mother or health, which means just about anything.
Right. That's
but
a
in
big
Vermont,
loophole.
Which in Vermont, they don't even go through that kabuki theater. They just say there's a fundamental right to abortion. And
period.
That means that in that legislation, it hasn't passed yet, but I believe it probably will. If that bill passes, it is the most radical abortion license in the world because it doesn't have any restriction as to time, manner, purpose, for example. And it just shows that as the pro-life forces have actually become more successful, the people opposing them and the advocacy groups opposing them are becoming more honest about their actual beliefs.
Wesley, very quickly, I want to go to another point of one of those provisions that was repealed by this law, which was not talked about, and that is the consent requirement for an abortion to be legal.
Yeah, that's stunning. I mean, why in the world, if you believe in pro-choice, would you do away with a provision in the law that says that for an abortion to be legal, the woman had to consent to it? I have not got a clue why that would be put in there other than, I honestly don't even want to assume. I just think that there is such an antipathy to any restriction on abortion that even this ironic provision, the right to choose aspect of law, was taken out. It really is a stunning
thing. The cornerstone of their argument.
Exactly. The irony is bitter.
Wesley Smith, great to have you on. Thanks so much. Interesting piece. I've got it posted on my website. I'll encourage people to take a look at it.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, Wesley Smith. He is with the Center for Bioethics in Culture, and he has a piece that was published today. You can go to TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over. All right, again, phone line is open, 866-372-7234, 7234. Are you surprised by the Democrats' move to remove God from the oath that's required for those that appear before the House Committee on Natural Resources? Now, I don't think it'll stop there. This will spread throughout all of the committees if this occurs. Now, I'm going to give you the Capitol switchboard number again because you need to call your member of Congress and express your outrage. If you're outraged, if you're not, then don't call. 202 224-3121, Capital Switchboard number. Let's go to Diana in Alabama. Diana, welcome to Washington Watch. Let's go to Alabama.
Senator. Yeah, I've called both my senators, and they Terry Sewell acted like she didn't know what I was talking about, or her assistant did, you know, and I explained it to them, and that I just told them how I wanted my, you know, I was against it. And did I hear you say the Capitol Committee that it was the Natural Resources
that right,
was
Natural Resources
taking God out of
Of their oath for witnesses that come before the committee. This is in the House Natural Resources Committee. But
right.
If one adopts
it. How could that possibly be, though? How could they take God out of the oath and the swearing in? I mean, this country was founded on those principles. And how can they possibly just change that just because the Democrats got in? I'd like to see the House and the Republicans, since they weren't able to do anything for 2 years, nothing got done that the president didn't do himself. I mean, everybody knows that, and everybody's
yep.
watching. And I would like at least to see the Republicans at least, you know, cut this stuff off that these Democrats are throwing all around. I mean, they seem to be able to get a whole lot going that, the Republicans couldn't do for 2 years. So they need to cut them off at the ground and stop this mess before some citizens start suing the Congress.
Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow morning, but thanks for making that phone call, and I would encourage others to do the same. The Capitol Switchboard number 202-224-3121. Now, again, I would post the list of the members of the House Natural Resources Committee, but they've not yet posted the members. Now, you can dig and you can find them, but I can't put them all in one place for you so that you, like we normally do, we have it really easy for you, where you can just follow the links over and make the phone call. Can't do that. So that's why I'm recommending you just call your member of Congress. They may not be on the committee, but just say, look, I heard what's happening in the House Natural Resource Committee. They want to remove God from the oath that witnesses take. Don't do it. It's outrageous. I mean, aren't there bigger things to do than, actually, that's pretty big, taking on God. I don't know that you can get bigger than that, but it seems like they would have something better to do. All right, let's go to Texas, where Carol is on the line. Carol, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Actually, I'm not surprised at anything the Democrats do. After last Thursday, when Cuomo signed into law a bill murdering full-term babies, allowing their murder, I cried all the way home.
Yeah.
I was so upset, and I know that there are going to be some sick individuals out there who will actually carry a child to term just so they can do that, and I don't know how anyone could consider, you know, murdering a perfectly formed, beautiful baby just because of the space of an inch or two.
Of course, Carol, when you do that, that's one, I think, one of the prime motivators for wanting to remove any recognition or acknowledgement of God. Because
that is what the Democrats are trying to do, Tony, not only in the, Natural Resources Committee, but in the country as a whole. I mean, we saw that with Obama and his freedom to worship rather than freedom of religion, which is what we have in this country.
Yeah.
And
he began that process, and I think this new batch of Democrats are taking it to the next level, as Liz Cheney said, the House Republican Conference Chair, this is the party of Karl Marx, who wanted to remove God completely from society.
Well, we've got a Muslim woman in there now who wants us to give consideration and not be so harsh on young men wanting to join ISIS.
Yeah, and of course she's made anti-Semitic comments as well.
But anyway, I just wanted to say, like I said, I'm not surprised at anything, and thank you for taking my call. Thank you for what y'all do.
Thank you, Carol. Thanks for calling in. I mean, look, she's absolutely right. When you can not just pass a law like they did in New York last week that allows for abortion up to the final minutes of pregnancy, inches from infanticide, but celebrate it, cheer it, light up the World Trade Center, the spot of the World Trade Center, in pink, celebrating the passage of this most extreme abortion law in the country. Of course, when you do that, as I said, it only makes sense that you would want to remove God. Because as Congressman Graves said at the beginning, the reason we put that in there, the reason we acknowledge God, and the reason, by the way, that the polling data of voters say that they want their elected officials to recognize God because there's an accountability to a higher being. But see, that's exactly what they don't want. For those who kill babies, they don't want to be held accountable. But I have news. I mean, God will hold us all accountable for what we do. It's only by his grace as we repent and receive his forgiveness are our hands washed. And maybe, you know, maybe you've been there. I was at a pro-life event this weekend, a march, and there were two women who were post-abortive that had made that choice and regretted it. But they are now living fulfilling, rewarding lives as they received forgiveness and healing from that. And you may be listening, and you may have experienced that, and you're angry with God. And I was reading the other day, really, the reason we fear God as opposed to hate God, when we fear him because we understand that he is a forgiving God. And when you don't understand that God can actually forgive you, you're angry with him. But here's the thing. God will forgive anyone and everyone. No, it doesn't matter what you do. You just simply have to acknowledge him and confess that sin and receive that forgiveness. And that's where the fear comes in, because then it's a reverence. You don't want to disappoint him. But until you come to that point, there's an anger with God. And that's what I see in these actions by some in the Democratic Party. But God is a forgiving God. Ready, willing to forgive. And that applies to individuals and nations. And I pray as a nation, collectively as individuals, as a nation, that we will take serious, very serious, where we are as a nation and repent of our sins. The 60 million lives of unborn children since 1973. God have mercy on America. All right, folks, out of time. Sorry I didn't get to the rest of the calls, but I wanted to make those final points. Lord willing, we will be back again tomorrow, and I invite you to come back as well. Until then, the words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.